Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Surprise! It is not Gary Wellings. It's Pastor Richard Dietering filling in with Gary, along with my great friend and my brother, Phil. How you doing, Phil?
I am doing great. It's a double surprise.
It is. It's a double surprise. Hey, were you listening to Linda's show earlier?
No.
We're both fired. I want you to know.
Yes,
you know, but I have to say, I've never been fired by a nicer person. She did it so sweetly. She did it on the radio for everyone to hear.
Yeah.
Because we happened to forget some papers, some currents, that we all take time to make sure the right people get their copies of the current. Mr. Wellings is not here today. He's out on assignment doing chief editor stuff. So, you know, chief editors always have things to do. And so I have some business I have to take care of before we get into the main business here. Join special guest speaker Jeff Long, financial consultant CFP, for Thrivent Financial as he shares strategies for retirement and managing your estate, including how to accumulate and distribute money. My wife has that down pat.
Mm-hmm.
She can accumulate and spend, distribute money. How to pass money on to heirs or charities, increase the probability of investment success, and more. Jeff Long and financial associates Jay Kemp and Jeff Myers will host these complimentary events on September 19th at the Novi Public Library at both 4:30 and 6:30 p.m., September 20th at the South Lyon District Library at both 4:30 and 6:30 p.m., and September 29th at the Wixom Public Library at both 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. RSVP by calling 734-455-9272. No products will be sold. Thrivent Financial cannot provide legal, accounting, or tax advice or services. Consult your professional for full details. Licensed agents, producer of Thrivent Financial, marketing name for Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, registered representatives of Thrivent Investment Management, Inc., member FINRA, and SPIC, thrivent.com. And I'll tell you, that last disclosure that was read there, if it was Dan Martin reading it, he could do it really fast like the professionals do it. But we're just here because we enjoy talking to the people, right?
Right.
I had to catch him offline. Yeah. Earlier today, I was on our pilot show of Moment of Clarity, and you weren't able to join us this morning. You were out on assignment this morning.
Yes.
But you'll be joining us next week on our show, right?
Right.
Very good.
Yes,
we had Pastor Max Schuster on this morning talking about the humanist movement and how it disguises itself as, well, what we call liberals.
Yes.
And actually what that means. Today, we're going to be... today is a little less than a week away, or a little more than a week away from September 11th. And we will be remembering that dreadful attack on this country.
Yes.
And as before the show, we were watching, folks, you won't believe this, we were watching clips of Obama. And and I caught one where it says, why do we need to call it Islamic terrorists? Why do we need to name it? How about this? We were attacked by terrorists, by Islamic terrorists. Why is he so afraid to name it? That attack on this nation devastated this nation, still does to this day.
Yeah.
And we have to understand who the enemy is, and yet he doesn't think it's necessary to call the enemy out by name.
Mm.
And we're going to actually be talking a little bit about the enemy today. I brought in a copy of a book I've read now 37 times. It's the Quran. And 37 times, yeah. I've read this from cover to cover. Luckily, it's in English. Otherwise, it would have taken me longer.
Yeah.
I've read it 37 times, and when people sit there and say Islam is a religion of peace, I have a feeling they haven't read the Quran.
Right.
Now, I have friends that are Muslim, and they say they're the religion of peace. And yet, if you push them on the Quran, they'll tell you themselves they really don't put a lot of time into it. It's like some Christians that say they're Christians but never opened up a Bible in their life, you know? Mm. To me, if you're a Christian, you're going to find out what God wants to say. If you're Muslim, you're going to find out what their prophet has to say, you would think. And not only that, there are as many deviations of Islam as there is Christianity, even more so. I mean, we think of just Sunni and Shiite, but each one has all their divisions.
Yeah.
Saying Sunni and Shiite is very much like saying, for example, Roman Catholic and Protestant.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Even within the Roman Catholic Church, you can find many divisions. You got the extremely Orthodox Catholic Church that want to go back to the Catholic Church prior to Vatican,
mm-hmm.
Or you've got the more liberal type. But then you also have the Protestants, right? And then you have all these variants of Protestantisms, and then you have Anglicans that claim to be neither Catholic or Protestant.
Mm-hmm.
So you got these variations. Well, Islam has as many differentiations, but we're going to spend time talking basically on two of them, and that's the Sunni
mm-hmm.
and the Shiite, because
are they the largest sect?
They're the two. Everything else is variations of those two.
Uh-huh.
And the reason I want to say this is because, believe it or not, before, remember when Jimmy Carter was in office, I know something we try to forget, we had a little bumping of heads with a small Muslim nation called Iran. Remember that? They held a bunch of us hostage, and all of a sudden, the whole Shah thing, and now we have religious guys taking over. They are Shiite Muslims. And before this time, the Sunnis were much more peaceful in the way they tried to push their doctrine,
mm-hmm.
except with other Shiites. They'd fight the Shiites, but worldwide they were not the type to go into terrorism. But what they learned from this is that type of behavior done by the Shiites got results.
Mm-hmm.
It got attention. Next thing you know, we have things happening like the USS Cole being bombed. All right, we have things like planes flying into towers. And now the whole 9/11 was by a Sunni group, Osama bin Laden, who was Wahhabi, mm-hmm. which is Sunni,
mm-hmm.
Planned. So the reason I bring this up is a lot of people say, I heard it many times, well, the Shiite are the worst, or the Sunni are the worst. And so I thought it would be important to understand the difference between the two. The big difference is end time views, how they view the end times coming, and how it is involved with them as a worldwide government. The Sunni, give you a best example of the Sunni government, would be the Ottoman Empire in Turkey. That was a caliphate. They believed that the Muslim Sunnis, one day would rule the world under a single caliphate.
Mm-hmm.
So they see a worldwide domination underneath a single Muslim leader and a Muslim theocracy. And that's what they are pushing for.
Mm-hmm.
This is what ISIS is. They are pushing for this theocracy of under Muslim law, and they are willing to kill for it. And why are they willing to kill for it is because of the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
The Quran, and you notice, now you folks out there in radio land can't see this, but I have a lot of sticky notes.
Yeah.
A lot of sticky notes in my Quran, and all these sticky notes talk about killing the infidel. Or lying to the infidel to achieve their purposes.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, this is one of the big differences between the Sunni and the Shiite. You see, the Sunni believe in the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of like the Baptist Christian church, that the Bible is the sole authority.
Mm-hmm.
Baptists will tell you that tradition has no authority. In our belief system, it's all Scripture. Whereas the Roman Catholic Church, they know there's sacred tradition also that they will adopt in.
Mm-hmm.
This is similar to the difference between Sunni and Shiite. The Sunni say Quran and Quran alone. Okay? The Shiite say, no, we've got the Quran, but we also have other writings also that we can go by. And they go by those writings mm-hmm. also. And with that in mind, and let me get my notes here. Go ahead.
One quick question. When you said that the Sunni
mm-hmm.
Learned something from the Shia.
Right.
I think that the Shia learned from the Sunnis, too, with Saddam Hussein and the interest that was gained by pursuing weapons of mass destruction. They figured that if they were able to come up with a bomb,
mm-hmm.
atomic bomb, that nobody would bother. And they are absolutely right, because if they do come up with the bomb, no one is going to attack them, but I believe that they have Israel in their sights.
Oh, they do. and we're going to get into why that's a very important point you just made. And yes, that Israel is on the target, but not just Israel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right? Well, us.
Israel, they know by hitting Israel is going to get their, as Shiites, their desired impact.
Yeah.
But but understand, Iran is Shiite, not Sunni. Mm-hmm. Iraq is Sunni.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying.
And
they learned the idea of getting the bomb from Saddam Hussein's pursuit of the bomb.
Right.
And weapons of mass destruction.
Okay, so let's start out first by just talking, because this is going to be very interesting. So the Sunni want a caliphate, a government. They're, understand the Quran, if they go strictly by the Quran, 90% of the Quran is political.
Mm-hmm.
Less than 10% of it, less than 10%, like 4% of it, is actually religion.
Yeah.
So understand that the Sunni and the Shiite faith both are primarily political in nature, with a theological approach to it, but it is political. So the Sunni goes strictly with this. They want a worldwide caliphate.
Yeah.
Whereas the Shiite take a different approach. Their goal is a little bit different. They believe in something called the lost imam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, with the lost imam, and the Sunni don't believe it, they believe that in the end you will have the last imam come along and they will run the caliphate. And that this imam does not have to be in any way, shape, or form related to the great prophet Muhammad. Where Shiites say, no. The lost imam is actually someone who's been lost, and he's been hiding for over 1,000 years in a deep pit, all right? And he's going to come out of this pit after hiding for over 1,000 years, or up to 1,000 years, and he's going to come out and rule the world. But the only way, in the Shiite belief, that this lost imam is going to appear is in the midst of world chaos. What better way to cause world chaos than by dropping a bomb on Israel? What better way to cause world chaos to hit the major powers with a nuclear bomb? You see, in this case, you could say the Shiite are actually more dangerous because they are on a spiritual quest to ring in this lost imam. They're looking to bring on end times, whereas the Shiite or the Sunni are looking to bring on just world domination, you know, kind of like Pinky in the Brain, their approach.
Yeah.
They want, the Sunni want world domination, the Shiites want world domination at end time underneath the lost imam.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to look a little bit first about the lost imam and what that means. For those biblical scholars out there, you'll understand the references I make. Here is a quick overview of their end time prophecies. If you go to Revelation 6, you'll read about the first horse, the white horse. And that white horse comes in, and he's got a bow, but he does not have a quiver. He doesn't have any arrows. But he's going to conquer, which means he's going to conquer through politics. He's going to conquer through the use of his tongue, but he's going to be a conqueror. They see this as the lost imam.
Mm-hmm.
To us Christians, that rider of that horse represents that conqueror who will be a leader, represents the Antichrist, all right? So who we see as Christians as the Antichrist in Revelation, they see as the lost imam. They see as their great Savior. And then they look at the rider of the white horse in Revelation 19 that we see as Messiah, the one that is called Messiah in 19, the one that's called the Word of God, they see as the Mahdi. Or the evil one.
Yeah.
Okay, they see him as the Antichrist, and we see as Christ. So, to narrow it down, their Antichrist is our Jesus.
Is our Savior.
Their Savior is what we'd call the Antichrist. Now, they do have in their end time prophecies someone called Isa, which is the Farsi name for Jesus. And they say that he has the same powers as the Mahdi, except that he will turn those powers over to him. He will relinquish his power and all of his powers over to the Mahdi.
Mm-hmm.
In Christian end time prophecy, what we say is there's going to be a false prophet that will come with the same powers and the same authority as the Antichrist, but he will relinquish his powers to the Antichrist. And we call that person in our end time prophecy as the false prophet. Mm-hmm. In other words, if you were to make a photocopy or photo negative of the book of Revelation and say what's good is in Revelation for us is bad for them, and what's bad for us is good for them. They even, a lot of the Shiites look at the number 666 as a holy number.
Hmm.
And if you actually look in the Greek, how in the Greek language, how the three letters used to represent that 666, if you were to, for example, take the name of God, just write God, and take the D in God and turn it sideways and just drop it down a little bit, that'd be like doing the same thing with these three letters. If you turn one of the letters sideways and drop it down a little bit, it looks like the Farsi sign for blessed be the name of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
And so they see that number 666 as a holy number, and they say, no, this is a good thing for mankind to be marked with, is this sign of what we call the sign of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying, no, we have to willingly accept that. So if you get the idea, their end time prophecies are pretty much take Book of Revelation, and they want everything that's evil in it to happen, and they say that's good for them.
Mm-hmm.
So Their purpose of then causing this chaos is to usher in this Las Mahdi.
Mm-hmm.
So it behooves them to cause as much chaos in this world as possible. You remember their old president, Ahmadinejad. He and his whole cabinet, some of his cabinet still serving today with the new president, all took an oath to the lost imam to usher him in and to cause as much world chaos as possible. Again, this is not to cause a caliphate as the Sunnis see it. And this is part of the reason the Sunni and the Shiites are constantly butting heads, is because they have different purposes in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Makes great sense when you are looking at it from our angle, because people try to make it out as if there is a difference in devout Muslimism or Islamism. And the people that aren't devout are the ones that are doing the terror, when it in fact is the devout that are doing it. And you can see what it is that they're trying to do by looking at the reasons that they want to do the mayhem.
So
and cause, you know.
Now this is where it starts getting really important. So now that we know the reason why each side would attack us, we can also make sense now why the reason, how they attack us is why they attack us. Yes, Iran will use, I believe, if they get that atomic bomb, they will use it.
Yes.
Why? Because spiritually they feel they have nothing to lose. Even if we launch back at them, they say that's part of bringing in the lost imam.
That's right.
So they will feel blessed even if they're bombed back. That is where the danger, where they lie. But that's not who our biggest enemy is today. Who hit the towers? It was Sunni, not Shiite.
Mm-hmm.
Who is ISIS primarily made up of? Sunni. Boko Haram, Sunni. Matter of fact, you can find these terrorist cells all throughout the world.
Yes.
And they're all Sunni.
Yeah.
And why are they spreading out? They're actually, if you look at the spread out of their thing, it's almost like a spider web.
Mm-hmm.
And their goal is to push for this one world caliphate, this one world government, this Muslim theocracy today. And they believe that you can force someone into Muslim or tax them. And, or if they don't convert or pay the tax, you behead them. Where do I get that from? That comes from the Quran, not the other writings, not their other secular writings. So we have to be very cautious when we look at this, because not all Muslims are the same, and why they would attack us, the end results are the same. We get attacked.
Right.
But why is very important. The why is very important.
But would you, if the people that don't, are not practicing Muslims or Islamists, people like Hillary Clinton, every time an attack happens, they say this has nothing to do with Islam.
You know what? And that brings us into what I'm going to call the third category of Islam.
Yeah.
And we needed to go there, and I'm glad you brought that up. And that's what people are referring to as the moderate Islamists.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be the ones, and like I said, I have people that I know that I talk to. I will sit there and pray for their salvation with them. It drives them nuts, but I do it. All right? They don't necessarily agree with the methodology that the extremists use, But if it brings the end result, if they're Sunni, if it brings the end result to a caliphate, then they'll say praise be Allah.
Yeah.
If they are Shiite, if it brings in the lost imam, then it's praise be Allah. Even though they may not agree with it, they're saying this is Allah's way of dealing with it. Because even in their own Quran, time and time again, guess who is called the great deceiver? Now, in Christianity, we have someone we call the great deceiver.
Yes,
and
Lucifer.
He's not good. He's yeah. Lucifer, right? He's the great
right,
deceiver.
Right.
They say no one can deceive better than Allah.
Ha!
So to him, he's a great deceiver. This is why the Muslims are allowed to lie.
Yes.
Even the moderate Muslims.
Yeah.
Because in the end, again, they have one or two results they want to see come to pass. Mm-hmm. Either a caliphate or the end times prophecies fulfilled mm-hmm. and the lost imams come back. They have a thing called taqiyya. This is what allows them to lie. There's a couple different ways that they are allowed to lie
mm-hmm.
Even each other. They're allowed to lie to their spouses. And we as Christians aren't. And our wives don't let us forget that, right?
That's right.
Right? We're not supposed to lie to anyone. We're not supposed to lie to our spouses. But here the Muslims believe that you can... The Muslims believe that you can lie to establish Allah's good. For example, in the Quran 16:106, that establishes that there are circumstances that can compel.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just give you the chapter and verse of this and what it does. But it gives the circumstances that can compel a Muslim to lie. In 3:28, these verses tells them not to take on friends that aren't believers. But they can deceive them to gather for their better good. You got the 9:3 that says that it's okay. You're free from liability if you lie to infidels. There is no liability, or if you lie about infidels, you can lie about infidels and you're free from any liability. You can lie to hide your faith if you're Muslim and you feel like you're under attack. You can lie about your faith. When I see that, is I think of a young girl at Columbine High School who was killed because she refused to deny her faith. It's totally opposite of Christianity. We learned that if you deny us, he didn't, you know, or if you deny him, he'll deny us, right?
Yeah.
We don't deny our faith, and we don't lie to deny our faith. Matter of fact, we're told to try and pray to have the strength that we can continue to love and honor our God, whereas they can lie about their faith.
Mm-hmm.
If it's going to get them ahead or protect themselves.
So how can we accept all of these people coming out of Syria? We have a very, very liberal immigration program, and our public officials actually defend the actions of some of the Muslims, but how?
Okay,
we able to make this, you know...
One thing we have to understand when they're bringing them in here, because when they're coming in here, they're looking at becoming citizens, or they're coming over here, they actually are expected to make some sort of, let's say, an oath or a treaty with us. We're bringing them in as refugees, right? That they make a commitment to behave, to follow the laws while they're over here. Except one problem with that, and it goes in right with this taqiyya that I was talking about. Is any oath a Muslim makes to a non-Muslim...
Is it any good?
Is absolutely, it has no weight.
Right.
They can break it immediately.
Yeah.
We have to understand that as they're coming over here. Because right now, Hillary Clinton just says the best way to help Detroit is to bring 10,000 Syrian refugees and drop them in Detroit.
Yes. Yes.
They have no commitment to stay law-abiding citizens.
But we know that there is a practice that outbreeding the opposition to put themselves in the majority. Once they put themselves in majority, then it's a different game.
We'll finish up here in a bit. We got a hard break coming up here in just a few seconds, and then after that we have a caller we'll take from Ken. He wants to talk about devout Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, in the end, if they practice Islam at all, they're devout. It's just to what extent.
Yeah. Well, how do
they view their theology. That's the thing, is how do they view their
ideology. How do we get the officials in this country to understand that?
And we'll talk about that too, coming up after the break.
people are always on the move, driving to work, hauling the kids to practice. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for intelligent conversation with hosts like Joe Pags, Glenn Beck, Theron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600 and whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. A hunt underway for suspects after a police shooting in New Jersey. Authorities in Atlantic City saying officers were on routine patrol when they confronted three males.
The officers was getting out of the car. The males opened fire at one of our officers, striking one.
One officer in critical condition after an exchange of gunfire outside an Atlantic City casino. One suspect is dead. A shooting in the lobby of a California county jail.
All units in service respond. Code 3, officer down in the main jail.
From broadcastifying the shooting at the Fresno County Jail, which left two sheriff's office employees hospitalized, a suspect in custody. And Tropical Storm Hermine blamed for two deaths now, churning north toward New Jersey, where Governor Chris Christie has declared a state of emergency for several counties. Fox News, we report. You decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Each year, children are placed into foster homes due to circumstances beyond their control. Their home life has been disrupted and they are in need of a strong, stable place to live until they are able to return home. Caring homes are needed to provide a safe place for these children to live until they can return to their birth families. Homes are needed for children of all ages, especially teenagers. Girlstown Foundation, a nonprofit organization, has served children and families in the Metro Detroit area since 1958. Your help is needed. Interested people can call 734-697-4804 extension 241 or visit girlstownfoundation.org. The Detroit Institute of Arts is one of the premier art museums in the United States. It's home to more than 60,000 works that comprise a multicultural survey of human creativity from ancient times through the 21st century. From the first Van Gogh painting to enter a museum, to Diego Rivera's world-renowned Detroit industry murals, the DIA's collection is known for its quality, range, and depth. For more information, call 313-833-7900 or visit www.dia.org. Check out the wide variety of educational fun events put on by the Ann Arbor District Library for kids preschool through 12th grade. All library facilities can be reached by phone through the main switchboard at 734-327-4200, or you can visit www.aadl.org. Check it out.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community.
Pictures Plus and the Westgate Shopping Center on West Stadium Boulevard in Ann Arbor will frame it upright. They offer huge discounts on all types of picture framing, dry mounting, and matting. And they do acid-free preservation framing and shadow boxing. Pictures Plus for any framing you need for the home or the office. Call them today, 734-741-1900. That's Pictures Plus and the Westgate Shopping Center on West Stadium Boulevard in Ann Arbor, 734-741-1900, or visit them online, picturesplusonline.com.
Many of our troops fought for our country and are struggling from the effects of invisible wounds, such as post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injuries. Camp Liberty's all-volunteer nonprofit program utilizes inclusive outdoor recreation activities to help these heroes reintegrate back into their family and their community. Camp Liberty provides a setting for veterans and their families to heal together in the great Michigan outdoors. You can help Camp Liberty help our Michigan heroes by visiting their website at camp-liberty.org.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Thank you. This is Pastor Rick, and I'm filling in for Gary Wellings. And I'm going through the Courier, or the Current right now. The Current. Please forgive me, Gary. The Current. C-O-U-R-A-N-T, the Current paper. Phil, do you need a rehabilitation? Because Wellbridge of Pinckney makes rehabilitation easier, it says, with their smart design, innovative concepts, authentic hospitality, and commitment to our guests.
Okay.
So if you need a rehabilitation for anything, I'll tell you what, where you go is Wellbridge of Pinckney.
Yes.
They are a big supporter of the Current paper and of the show. And we do appreciate all the hard work. And I'll tell you what, people I do know that have gone to Wellbridge find them to be extremely professional mm-hmm. and helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Wellbridge of Pinckney. And they are at 664 South Howell Street, Pinckney, Michigan. Phone number is 517-375-5363. That's the business end of what we're talking about. During break, Phil, you and I were talking about the old adage, the enemy of my enemy is my enemy.
Yes.
And what we have to understand is even though the Sunni and the Shiite are enemies of each other, mm-hmm. we're the bigger enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So at which point, who are they going to join together to fight their enemy? They're going to join with each other yeah. to fight us, not join us to fight one of them. In the end, we are on the losing end of that joint venture, so yeah. to speak.
Well, I've known a few veterans of the Gulf War and the Afghanistan and they have the idea that they have to bring some of those refugees out of that country because they fought on our side and they would be killed by the opposition if they aren't in a winning position. I can understand that, but what I can't understand is how we bring in 10,000 people off the battlefield, and we have absolutely no idea of what their background is.
I have this acquaintance that used to have a restaurant out towards Wayne Westland area.
Mm-hmm.
Muslim gentleman. He's first time he asked me to pray for him, I prayed for his conversion. He says, you know I'm Muslim. I says, you know I'm a Christian pastor, right? I'm going to pray for your salvation.
Yeah, yeah.
He has had no problem. He's seen no problem with calling Jews dogs and Gentiles pigs.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought it was completely normal to call me a pig to my face and like I'd have no reason to be offended over that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's what we call the moderate, okay?
Oh,
the moderate. So you have to look at the mindset of them. It's all Islam, even the moderates. Their end result, they might say we will get to the caliphate through soft jihad,
mm-hmm.
which is we will get to them through by evangelizing, like Christians evangelize with Jesus. We will get to them about reading the Quran and telling the Quran and showing them how great Allah is, right? So they look at a soft version of jihad to bring them over, but they're constantly working under this concept of jihad. How do we get the infidel over to Allah? That is their final goal. And whether it's Shiite or Sunni, is conversion, or you're separated. You are of nothing to them.
Yeah,
really, you are a dog. So okay, hey Ken, you've been holding very well. Thank you for holding. How are you doing this morning, this afternoon?
And I'm doing great. And the reason I'm calling is because I think that what I have to say is important. And I just want to stress something point to your listeners. I have done. And I encourage your listeners to do the same thing, even though it's a lot of work. I've actually read the Quran cover to cover. And I've also looked at the history of Islam from Muhammad until now. And people, listen to me. Islam is not, I repeat, is not and never has been a belief system based on peace. It's not a religion. It's a political system. And people have got to get it through their thick skull.
Actually,
I'm afraid that we're dealing with people today that are lazy when it comes to researching and doing their homework. Islam is not peaceful. Islam promotes the extermination of anyone that is not willing to follow the teachings of Islam, the teachings of Muhammad.
Hey, Ken.
I strongly push, read the Quran. I read that Martin Luther said something. The German reformer Martin Luther said something very important. He said that the greatest defense against Islam is to encourage the people to actually read the Quran.
Read it 37 times. But Phil has something to say real quick. What's your question, Phil?
You said it's a belief system based on what? It's based on is it based on conquest or is it based on religion?
Islam, there again, it's really not a religion. It's a political belief system.
It's a political ideology. That's what I was trying to say. 90% of the Quran is political, and less than 10%, closer to 4%, is actually religious.
And the thing we have to look at when we examine both the teachings of the Quran and the history of Islam is that there's no room for any thought outside of Islam.
But what I want to know is it based on conquest? Because...
Well, absolutely.
Their idea is to either conquest by battle or by outbreeding the opposition.
No, you can go right back.
Well, Muhammad clearly was behind conquest by force.
Yes.
Yeah, Islam has always been a faith by conquest, mm-hmm. always going
when,
back to
when
the
When we examine history. The history of Islam, and I encourage your listeners to do what I've done, Islam is a conquest by force. There's no exception. There's no tolerance mm-hmm. for anyone that is not willing to submit. Well, I'll tell you one thing.
Make it quick, Ken, because I got two other people want to talk.
Pork on my pepperoni, the pepperoni on my pizza, I'm not willing to give up.
Yes.
And you know what? A friend of mine once told me that every time somebody eats bacon, a Muslim angel loses its wings. So on that note, let's go to Jerry on line two.
Hello, Pastor Deering. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
I'm not going to contradict anything you said. You've got a very good show going on. More education is always a good thing. Only thing I do have a bone to pick with you about is your commercial you're running.
Okay, which one do they got running right now? So you can tell me which one you...
The one you got running is a... Someone has said about America commercial.
Yes.
That nice little lead-in you got. Folks have said a lot about America. They've also said we're willing to die to save somebody else. We give too much. We don't ask for anything in return.
Yeah, you're missing the actual point of that commercial.
I got the point of your commercial. Okay. It's just the way you phrase the first part of it.
Yeah.
Someone has said, and you go mm-hmm. through a whole lot of generalities that are, after a while, it's sort of grating, shall we say?
I'm sorry you took it that way. And actually what I was doing is pointing out that a lot of people are looking at ways of that a lot of other people come out and say, this is the problem with America. And what I'm trying to do is point out exactly what you think I'm doing. What I'm trying to point out is a lot of people out there are saying this is what's wrong with America. There's this, and they find all these things to nitpick about America. And yet, those same people that will nitpick about America will not go out and do something positive for America. Whereas there are those that will go out and do things positive for America. They're very much what? So. Our soldiers and everything else. Mm-hmm. Actually what I'm trying to say in that. Appreciate it.
Yeah, think about how you're approaching it. I know what you're saying. I got the drift of it, pun intended. But after a while, you start thinking about how it's coming across. And if someone is not saying the truth about you, and it's being said a lot, you might be, instead of repeating what they're saying, might be wise to directly contradict. But thank you anyway.
Well, thank you for your call.
A good show going. You got a good topic. You know your topic. I don't think any of your callers are going to argue with you on your topic.
You have a blessed day, Jerry.
Will do. Thank you a lot. You
thank
too.
You.
Bye-bye.
Ed, how are you doing today, Ed?
Great, my brother. Thank you for asking. And you?
I am blessed.
Excellent.
The Lord has blessed me.
Well, I was listening to Ken and some of the comments, and I must say, I understand the point of saying that Islam is a political movement, but you cannot deny that Islam is a religion. A religion is an attempt of man to reach God. Do we agree?
Yes.
Okay, so basically these people, many, many, many Islamists around the world, and I know a couple. I'm friends with one. I used to work for one. We remain friendly. And I want to watch what I post because he is a peaceful Muslim. He has gone to protests at his mosque in Toledo protests of Islamic terrorism. So yet he sees the Quran, and I'm not sure if it's the Quran so much as, I mean, he would say it is. I don't know if he's read it as much as you have. But he sees Islam as his way of seeking God. And yet he's willing to coexist with other religions. Now, I mean, there's always a chance he may get radicalized, and I very much doubt it about my friend. I just hired a Muslim. Am I afraid he's going to go nutso and start shooting everybody up in the plant? I don't think so.
No, it's and this is kind of the point I try to make about that third style of Islam, and that's what we see as the moderate, and they might take a much more evangelical way of recruiting into Islam. And I'm going to agree with Ken, but it's with the same caveat I said before Ken called. The Quran is primarily a political in nature book, but it's political with a theocracy behind it. In other words, they're trying to build an established politic with Allah as the theocratic ruler of it, that and the prophet.
Well, the question I would ask is, has anybody looked at Lebanon and tried to come up with a reason to question what it is that they have in mind? Because Lebanon was once the Paris of the Middle East, and today, look at it.
But
because they outbred the Catholics, and they purged a bunch of the Christians out of Lebanon before they became the majority.
We have to understand one thing is, even though, and I've had this conversation with lovely Linda. She says, you know, can you be a moderate or a soft-toned Muslim? And the answer is yes, you can. Just as there are people that claim to be of one faith or another, and yet they really don't practice it. But if they actually read the Quran, and they're very devout to the Quran, as the Sunni are more devout to the Quran than the Shiite. And I'd ask, is your friend Shiite or Sunni? I would almost bet by the sounds of it, you would say Shiite, because they also follow the Hadiths in the series. Which are other religious writings that the Sunni tend to stick with the Quran. But even though the moderate ones will use what's called soft jihad, and you know, we put this word jihad to just think as a violent thing, but soft jihad is a soft war, a soft movement.
It appears to me that the only place soft jihad, where they practice soft jihad, is in countries where they're the minority. Wherever they're the majority, it is either do my way or you lose your head.
What happens is you always have, the Catholic Church has the Westboro Baptist Church.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Not something we like to claim, yeah. Not something we want to claim, right? Yeah.
But what would happen?
Wait a minute. Can I?
Yes.
That's pretty much recognized, not even a Catholic Church. Or did you say Catholic? I'm sorry.
I said the Westboro Baptist Church.
Yeah, okay. Basically, it's not even a church. It's a family of lawyers, and it's a scam. They just happen to call themselves Christians. But
well, the Westboro Baptist Church are the ones that would go to military
right.
funerals and
it's
that
a,
whole
It's a family of lawyers who are scam artists.
Right.
It's
well, all, I, my point
it's
being
almost
is,
as political, frankly, as or as much as a
exactly.
hammer veiled in religion
exactly.
as Islam.
You're making my point is, even though we as Christians don't accept them as they give us Christians a black eye,
yeah.
right, because of their behavior, because they wear this Christian moniker, okay?
Right.
You have these sects in Islam that are going to be more violent than other sects. Now, this is all going to get wrapped up with a very surprising message at the end. It'll be long before the end. Is even the moderates in the end would love, for the sake of their God, to see everyone convert to Allah, because they honestly believe that he is the one true God. Got it?
Yeah.
So if the same as we would love to see them all convert and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Except we don't do it by the sword.
We do not do it by the sword. And so, I have to say, in history in the past, there have been a few that have tried to do it by the sword, and they were wrong for doing so.
All right, well, I guess my question is this. What are we supposed to do when we say, if we say that it's primarily a political organization, and trust me, I'm not pro-Muslim, you know me.
I know.
I'm trying to be honest and fair here and constitutional. If if the moderates say it's their religion and they are not promoting terrorism, because maybe because they are in the minority, how do we go about banning them, forbidding mosques, forbidding their assembling together because we consider them a terrorist organization, when those moderates have not exhibited what many would believe are latent tendencies, you know, that have not exhibited this? It's almost like mind. Oh, what's it? Where you're trying to make somebody a felon for what they you think they might do.
Right, and you're right. And we can't prohibit them from worshiping. And I'd say if we allow the government to prohibit them from worshiping in their mosque, we have to be afraid that they're coming after us as Christians next.
Well, look, look what's going on in France with the burkini. At some point, there has to be a further escalation of that law to include once, because there's going to be a backlash against the forcing these women to wear less clothing.
As a nation of freedom, we have got to be very careful on what laws that we want to incorporate to take away what freedoms from what group.
Yeah.
Because once we start taking away freedoms from some groups, we're going to be able to take them away from us.
Well, now, who's arguing to protect our religious freedoms when California wants to put a law that says reporters can't run a sting operation on Planned Parenthood? That's taking away a First Amendment right, mm-hmm. of the power of the press. They're taking Christian rights.
Now, I had some things I wanted to say on this whole thing. And on Christianity, there's a few things I can sit here and tell you. Jesus says that the world hated him, and therefore they hated him, they're going to hate us. Mm-hmm. Ephesians tells us that we are at war as Christians, and that the world, and the principalities, the demons are at war against us. So mm-hmm. we as Christians are going to face war. We are going to face persecution and prosecution. And we are at this point lucky in this country, that the soft persecution that we're facing compared to other countries where you can be killed.
Boko Haram.
You can be killed just for identifying yourself as a Christian. But even with all that, I just had a very dear friend of mine in Turkey that was killed in the military coup that was going on. He just went back to Turkey to celebrate being home, and he was out with his wife and some friends celebrating being home, and when this all blew up, him and his wife and his friends were all killed.
Wow.
Good news is he just converted to Christianity.
Mm.
So I can sit there and say...
Now that's lucky.
Yeah. no, that's God's timing is perfect, right?
Yeah.
But even in Turkey, which is a moderate Muslim country and less intolerant of Christians, is still intolerant of Christians. So we see what's happening with Islam in England, where they are going out of control. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Now this is the point where I says a lot of people aren't going to believe this. What do we do as Christians? The best thing that we can do as Christians is love them.
There you go. Evangelize.
They won't return it.
It doesn't matter. you see, that's what Jesus said. Jesus says it is easy to love those who like you.
Yeah.
But love your enemy.
Yeah, that's a little hard.
I'm curious, Pastor Dealing, have you read the account of Stan, what was his last name, called Dying Out Loud?
No, I'm sorry, I did not. Go ahead and share.
Oh, my goodness, what a great testimony. The brother was a missionary to Turkey, and he knows that God called him there, and he didn't see one conversion, even though he had prayed for this one imam's mom, and she had been cured of cancer, mm-hmm. not one conversion, yet he was welcomed into every mosque he went into, and there were thousands of Muslims at his burial.
Yeah,
and yet, you know, not I mean, he loved them. He went there to love them and give them Christ.
But you have to also understand, as he may not have seen one conversion, does not mean that he did not bear fruit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Does not mean that at all. Hey, Ed, thank you for joining us today online. We're talking and finishing up here, and the reason I wanted to talk about Islam is because we are going to be remembering the attack on this country.
Mm-hmm.
We were attacked September 11th, 2001. Airplanes were hijacked, and Sunni Muslims attacked our country. They did it. Why? Not because they wanted to punish us, but in the end result was to stir up as much Muslim backlash as possible for support of the caliphate. You have to remember, you have to look why they did it. Mm-hmm. These are not the ones that attacked us, were not the Shiites trying to bring in the chaos for the lost imam. These were done by Sunnis that are looking for world domination. So what can they do best is to stir up Muslim sects throughout the world by attacking who they see as the largest infidels, which is the United States, in their mind, towards their fight towards the caliphate. So we have to understand this was the ends that they have in mind, not what the Shiites would have in mind. The Shiites will drop a nuclear bomb on Israel to bring in the chaos they need to bring in to come to the ends that they are coming, that they desire. No, what happened to us was by the Sunni extremists that says we want a worldwide caliphate. We want to take over the world.
And they were from Saudi Arabia, who has put how many mosques in this country? See, that would be the first place I would start. I would allow mosques in this country if the country that we're putting them there would allow churches in their country.
And I would love to see Christian churches pop up all over Saudi Arabia, end times. I believe in the end that we will have our Lord running everything. But
I wouldn't want to be one of the people that was running those churches. I wouldn't want to be in that country.
And believe it or not, there are missionaries. In those countries, they go in there as doctors, they go in there as plumbers, they go in there as electricians, they go in there as construction workers, and they go over there with these skills with one purpose in mind, though, and that is to evangelize, knowing that their life will be on the line if they get caught. Mm. But these missionaries go over there to help out with the electricity, the dentistry, the doctors, whatever. They go over there with a profession to be able to evangelize Christianity. Will they face persecution? Yeah, absolutely. They could face death or life imprisonment if they're caught.
Yeah.
This is the wondrous thing about Christianity is that you find strength to do things you never thought was possible. For people to say, do you have any proof there's God? Yeah, I do. Look at the strength that goes into these missionaries going into these countries where they face certain death if they're caught. Hmm. And they do so with joy in their heart. They go there to spread the gospel.
Yeah.
I mean, there is nothing like it. They don't go there to conquer with a sword. They don't go there to behead anyone. They go there with a message of love, a message of forgiveness, and they know that they're facing their life coming to an end, but they have a surety of hope what comes afterwards. So this is the one wonderful thing that you have in Christianity is that you can go into countries like this knowing that you can bear fruit, like the gentleman that went to Turkey and was allowed to teach in all the mosques. Mm. And I'm sure he took the Christian message to all of them. You don't know the fruit that was going to be a...
He's a brave man.
But as far as, you know, allowing them to put mosque over here, I just say we have to be careful on what guidelines we put on other faiths. Because whatever we put on other faiths, the government can turn it around and put on us. And guess what? The government hates the Christian church more than they hate the Muslim church.
And they're proving it every day.
Yes.
Proving it.
They would be happy with a mosque on every corner if that would mean getting rid of the Christian church that's on every corner. They really would.
I believe that's their goal.
So, because, again, it goes to the enemy of my enemy.
Yes.
And we have. Do you have anything else you want to add to the conversation, brother?
I just want to say that one thing we need to get rid of in this country is political correctness. And we will be talking about that in upcoming days.
Jerry, I took your note to heart, and I'll get that spot removed probably next week, and we'll put on a better one for you. You all have a blessed day. This is Pastor Richard Dietering filling in for Gary Wellings.